Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this Sunday morning. Thank you for this Mother's Day. Father, it shouldn't just be a day for mothers. It should be a day to give thanks. Father, thank you for mothers. As I preach to the moms today, I pray that you would just use me now, Lord, to speak truth, wisdom into these mothers' hearts, Father. Encouragement. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I get started, just because it's Mother's Day doesn't mean that dads, you are exempt. If you are a dad, do me this favor. Every time I say the word mom in this message, pretend I'm saying dad. Okay, dads, you got it? Because this message also applies to you as well. Let me read to you from Exodus chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying. She felt sorry for him. "This is one of those Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" Notice this. "Yes, go," she answered. And the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." You imagine mom's getting paid for something you should do? She took him as Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." Amen. It's so amazing that Moses is one of those figures we see in scriptures as a real powerful man of God, a real godly leader. I look and read through the stories of Moses, and it just puts me to shame as a leader. What a godly man. What a man of integrity. A man of godliness. A man of power. But to know that it didn't start out of a whim. Moses didn't just become natural at what he did. As I read through the scriptures, I took note that Moses had a powerful influence in his life. And that was his mother. Pharaoh's daughter grabbed him out of the Nile. And her attendant said, "Should I grab a Hebrew to raise a Hebrew?" She said, "Yes. Go grab a Hebrew to raise this Hebrew child." And there were three women lined up. Which one would have the privilege of raising Moses? Which one would God pick to make sure that Moses would grow up to love him, serve him, and lead his people into salvation? Which one would Moses want to raise? Example. As Moses was standing there as a baby, and these three women were right next to him, imagine Pharaoh's attendants looking at each woman. And God ordained it that out of those three women, it would be his own mother to step out and nurse Moses. In God's eyes and in his thoughts, he said, if I'm going to raise a godly man, if I'm going to bring up a godly leader, then I have to use a strong, powerful influence in this child's life. I cannot go with just anyone. And God would use a mother to say, you are the most important figure in your son's life. You are the most powerful influence your child will know. And you, mom, I choose to raise this boy. God has a special anointing for mothers. Amen. Being a mom is one of the most difficult tasks. I wouldn't know. But get this. Raising a godly child in today's world has become even more of a difficult task, almost impossible. And unfortunately, Moses was born in Egypt, one of the most ungodly places at that time. As I introduced this service in this sermon, and as I was studying my notes, I thought about one of the most amazing examples of a mom. And I found it in the bald eagle. A bald eagle is truly such an amazing mother. But let me explain to you what happens with this bald eagle. Before mama eagle is a mama, she needs to find a potential daddy. Okay? She's hot. She's single. She's strutting her stuff. She's looking at all the fine eagles. As she begins to just work out a little, and she begins to look pretty, all the male eagles look at her. Whoa, she is so hot. She's so beautiful. Oh, I want her. So the male eagle begins to fly around her. And that male eagle is giving her the lines. Hey, baby. Hey, now you can imagine as he's just showing off. And she's just like, whatever. And as she's flying, eagles do something so amazing. The female eagle says, I need a real man for me. I can't just go with anything. You single ladies, listen to this. Don't just settle. Amen, mom? So that female eagle puts them to the test. And it's okay, single ladies, to put that man to the test. She swoops down to the floor and she begins to look for a twig, a small twig, and she grabs that twig. She soars thousands of feet in the air as that male eagle is pursuing her. She drops the twig. Oops. And that male is proving to her that I will do anything for you. That male eagle flies and drops 2,000 feet in the air, picks up that twig, brings it, he's fetching, brings it back to her. That's impressive. Oops. She drops it again and again, and he goes down and down, and he keeps picking it up. Okay, you're pretty nice. You're a pretty good catch. And then she begins to fly even higher. She grabs him. That's what eagles do. Claw to claw. And she free falls. And if that male eagle lets go, she knows that he's not the one. But if she lets go of him, she knows that this eagle was willing to die for me. So those eagles cling on to each other, claw to claw. And as she's free falling, that male eagle's like, you better be worth it. Oh, you know I love you, girl. I'm falling for you. And she's falling and they're falling. And she lets him go. And as she lets him go, she says, there's a good man. Amen. There's a catch. That's who I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. Eagles have this amazing thing. Well, they don't go from bird to bird. When she knows he's a worthy mate, they're together for life. Eagles fly together as a couple for life. And right there, she lets that man know, you're worthy of me. You have demonstrated your commitment to me. You thought women were complicated. Eagles are just, it's just a women, I don't know what it is. It's a woman thing. But that female eagle knows that this is the man I want. And as they mate, after they get married, of course, Three eggs come out. Three. That mom eagle, for a few weeks, is on that nest. And the male eagle goes and provides for her, feeding her, caring for her. There comes a time that the eggs hatch. And those little baby eagles come out. Moms, do you remember when that child came out? What was your thought? Finally. Ow. But instantly the pain was over when you laid eyes on that child. That eagle saw those little baby just hatch. And she's already drawn to them. And that eagle would die for those eggs that just hatched. She would die for those little eagles. You think the dating process was rough. You think sitting on an egg for a few weeks was rough. The real problem, the real task comes when they hatch. The real problem for parents come when their kids are growing up. Amen? Amen? Yes, one mother agrees. And now comes a real responsibility. As soon as that eagle comes out of that egg, it is easy prey for the outside world. As soon as those eggs hatch, there are other birds in the air soaring, looking to attack them. And it is the responsibility of those eagle parents to make sure that no danger, no threat from the outside of that nest comes inside this nest. They take turns watching over the nest. You know that the female eagle has the responsibility of staying up at night without a wink of sleep. And the male eagle is just snoring. And then in the day shift, he comes and he stays on the nest. And she goes hunting, and she goes feeding them, and she does all the work, and that male eagle is protecting the child, the little eagle, from threats on the outside. And as you think, wow, that's stressful, it doesn't end there. When they begin to mature, it is the responsibility for that female eagle to teach them how to be an eagle. It is a responsibility for the male eagle as well to teach them how to be a male eagle. And that female eagle grabs one and she gets them tight. And she takes them up in the air. And as she's soaring in the air, what's taking place is a life lesson. She's letting that baby know what it's like to soar. She's teaching that little eagle how to flap the wings, how to use the claws, how to hunt. She's teaching them by observation. You know what's the craziest thing about an eagle? They are observers. They learn by observing mama and daddy. That is the most difficult task for any parent. Understand this. That it's great that the eagle is on the nest and it has protection. It's supposed to protect. It's beautiful to see that eagle feed and provide. It's supposed to do that. But one of the most difficult tasks and responsibility an eagle has is to be a great example of what an eagle is. What a picture of what God expects you, mom, to be, and dad. You know, you're not just there to protect them. You're not just there to provide for them. You're not just there to make sure they get a good education and clothes on their back and food in their stomachs and then they grow up and they leave. You're supposed to do that. It is your responsibility to care for them. But the greatest responsibility that God has for you, mom and dad, is to be a great example to them. To teach them how to be a godly woman, a godly man. Teach them how to love God. Can you imagine those little eagles They're watching mom and dad have a committed relationship. That little eagle is not watching dad flirt around with a hawk or a chicken. That little eagle is watching mom. She sees her integrity. Those little eagles are watching mom and dad at all times. And you know what's crazy about all this? There comes a time after 3 months, the eagle has to go. It's called leaving the nest. Moms cry over this. Dads rejoice. Leaving the nest is a term we use when it's time for them to leave home. The eagles, after 3 months, look at their children and say, it's time for you to go. Dad might go like this, mom might hug and fly away, but that eagle leaves the nest, never to see the parents again. There's no visitations, there's no cards, none of that. Can you imagine when your child leaves the nest and you know you'll never see them again? Do you at least have the confidence to say, I've done everything I could to teach them about life? It's up to them now what they're going to do. There comes a time, sadly, that your children will leave the nest. And it is in that time that they're in the nest that you need to do the most instructing and give the best example. Start teaching them. Start investing in them. Because let me tell you, those 18 years in the nest go by fast, don't they? Imagine 3 months that eagle has to make sure that he or she leaves, knowing how to have a committed relationship, knowing how to fly, how to soar, knowing what it is to be an eagle. It is the responsibility of you, mom and dad, in those times that they're in the nest, to make sure that you are a great example, that you are giving them something to observe that you would be proud of. Parents, you have to understand that your kids are watching you. Your kids are observing you. Like those eagles, eagles have an amazing sense of vision. That's why we call it eagle eye. It's such a strong eye that they have to see for miles, and they see danger for miles. And I don't understand this, but my mom had eagle eye when I was growing up. I could not get anything past her. She can see a threat miles away. When I would tell mom I met this girl, the eagle eye went. And she would look at that girl, no me gusta. And she was always right. And I went anyway. And mom, you broke my heart. Ay, ay, mijo. Te lo dije. No, she didn't do that. But she had an amazing eye to see danger. I hated growing up knowing that she knew everything about what me and Enrique and Danny were up to. When we were going to go do it, she would be there waiting. Where are you going? What are you doing? But she had an eye. My mom and dad never said, all we have to do is feed them, let them live life. Sadly, parents today, they think the only thing they have to do is provide, but everything else they can do. Parents, you need to have an eagle eye to see the threat that wants to come in your nest. The minute your child is born, they're easy prey. And Satan has a target for them. And it's the responsibility of mom and dad to make sure that you're watching everything your kids are doing. Kids hate these type of services. But mom, you have to check. And you need to keep an eye on who your kids have a relationship with. Amen, parents? Kids won't like it. Let me tell you something. You are not your child's friend. Your child has enough friends, okay? They don't need to add one onto you, okay? I'm tired of parents saying, oh, we're BFFs. No, you're not BFFs with your daughter. You are her warden. You are her commander-in-chief. You have to make sure she is walking a straight line. If you need to slap her, you slap her. If you need to send them to the rooms, you do it. But make sure that you are not their friend. With that said, keep an eye on them. Who are they talking to? There's no privacy when they're in your nest, okay? Yeah, right. You see, Adriana, you're like, tell them, David. No privacy in this nest. You want privacy, get your own nest. Build your own nest. But when you're in my nest, I'm going to check up on you. Make sure, what relationships do they have? Let me tell you one thing. If an eagle brought home a rooster to meet the parents, that eagle would say, not in this nest. Because that rooster was never made to have a relationship with an eagle. That rooster would teach it the wrong things. It would lead it the wrong direction. I don't understand parents nowadays that say, oh, my daughter has a boyfriend, but he's not a Christian. He doesn't go to church, but he's a nice guy. I don't understand parents that said, oh, my son met this girl, and I think she's a Christian. I think, listen, you have to make sure that that person your child has interest in is a believer in Christ. If not, he's a rooster. You need to get him out of the nest. Don't be surprised when your child falls in love with a rooster and your eagle starts acting like a rooster. Amen? You have to keep a close eye on what they're doing, who they're hanging out with, how they're dressing. And it can be so stressful because your kids will make you so irritable when you're in their business. But here's the important lesson. You don't only have to just keep an eye on them. But you don't want to know what's frightening? They have an eye on you. You think you're the one with an eagle eye. Your kids are watching you from miles away. Mom, I was watching you. Dad, your every example, your every move teaches them something. If your child picks up the phone and you don't want to talk to them, don't tell your child, say, I'm not home. Guilty? You're teaching that child it's okay to lie when you have to. I never, ever, ever saw my mom or dad say that. I picked it up by accident, so I'm sorry. What are your kids watching in you? Understand that, like that eagle, your kids are observing you. And it's not what you say that they're going to remember, but it's what you did that's going to leave an impact in them. I remember when I left the nest. If you would see my own nest right now, it's an exact replica of my nest coming. Well, I'm a little messier. But I do things, and I have habits that I used to have at home. I had the same values and the same attitude as my mom. I treat people like my dad treated my mom. Understand this. What happens outside of your home is a reaction of what took place in it. What your kids grow up to be is a result of what happened when they were inside your home. It's frightening that your kids will treat their spouse how you're treating yours. Ooh, that's frightening. Your kids will demonstrate to everyone what life at home was like. You see, we have a lot of parents that want to raise up godly children. Who doesn't? We want a lot of parents who have kids that go to church and they're nice and they have integrity, but we don't have parents that want to put in the effort to make sure they grow up that way. There's a lot of parents that would come up to me and say, David, I just want a godly child. I just want them to go to church every week. Do you go to church every week? No, I'm always busy sometimes, and I do this, and I have this, and I can't. Don't expect your kids to love God if they don't see you loving God. Don't expect your kids to show up in church when you don't. Don't expect your kids to live a life of integrity when mom and dad, you don't have integrity. Don't expect your children to grow up to have a successful marriage when at home they see the broken one in you. Amen? Understand that your child was entrusted to you by God because God had a special plan and a purpose for that child, and He trusted you to make sure that that plan and purpose was fulfilled. He put that child in your nest, and it was your responsibility to make sure that this child grows up to love me and love God. What are they observing in you? Are they observing terrible habits? Are they observing how you gossip and you slander and you mistreat people? Are they observing how you lie and cheat? Are they observing a bad attitude, fighting and strife and quarreling at home, but then they observe you in church acting all spiritual and holy? And how are you, pastor? And you're in the car, I hate that, pastor. You go home, oh my gosh, I'm glad it's over. But then next week, guys, it's time for church, let's go. But then you come home and you put the Bible away, I'll pick it up next Sunday. You don't spend time with your kids reading the Word. Do you understand how important it is when God gives you a child? He's saying, out of everyone, I trust you. And you are responsible to make sure that this child grows up to love me and to serve me. In Exodus chapter 2, what's so amazing to me is that God used a mom to raise up Moses. Do you understand that Moses was in that palace of ungodliness? You don't have to understand or relate. You can actually relate to this, where you feel like your kids are in the most ungodly place. They may be in the most ungodly school, be surrounded by the most ungodly people. Understand that Moses was in the place where there were no other Hebrew people unless they were slaves. All he had around them was pagan worship. All he had around him was sin. And all he had around him was people enticing him to live that lifestyle. So that mother had the responsibility that when Moses got home, she would teach him about God. That mother had the responsibility of knowing that this child needs to know who God is. This child needs to grow up loving God. And I don't care what Pharaoh's saying. I don't care what all the Egyptians are doing. In this nest, you will serve God. And this mother took the responsibility to make sure that this child would love God. But let's backtrack. She got that basket and placed it in the Nile, because Pharaoh had ordered all the Hebrew babies to be slaughtered. All the males had to be slaughtered. In other words, there was an enemy out there that's saying, we need to destroy God's children. Mom, there's an enemy out there called Satan saying, I need to destroy your godly child. I need to corrupt your child. I need to make sure your child grows up to be a hypocrite and a liar. I need to make sure your child grows up to hate God. I need to make sure your child grows up to never want to go to church and serve God. All these babies were being thrown into the Nile, and the crocodiles were coming and slaughter and kill all these innocent babies. But there was a mother that put that child in the same river, in that same Nile that was dangerous. But here's the difference. She made a basket. Notice the Bible says she put tar and pitch on it. And as I studied that, I found it so interesting. How did this mother know to use tar and pitch to seal that little basket? Do you want to know how she knew this? That word basket translates tavia in the Hebrew, where the Bible was written in the Old Testament. The word tavia is only found twice in the Bible. Once in that story of Moses. And tavia is also found in the story of Noah. When God instructed Noah to build an ark, he said, use tar and pitch to seal it. We always think that it's a little cute basket, but do you understand that this mother made a little miniature ark? A little ark to protect her child. How did she know that? Because she was a godly woman. And even though the stories weren't written yet, they were told orally and passed down through generations. That means, follow with me, that when this mother was a child, her mother would tell her the story of Noah and the story of Abraham and how God created the universe, and there were stories of everything. That mother took the time to listen to that other mother about God. It's because Moses' mom had a godly mother, then she in turn became a godly woman herself and passed it on to Moses. Do you understand that the reason this child survived was because she was a godly mom? Every other woman and every other child went in that same river and died. But this mom got this child and says, I will put him in that river filled with crocodiles. But I know that I have built a godly hedge of protection over this boy. And this Nile will not consume my son. There's a lot of mothers out there that just throw their kids out there in the world and let the crocodiles feed on them. Let the internet feed them. Let pornography feed them and filthy music feed them and corrupt them and bad relationships. And they're being eaten by all these ungodly crocodiles. Tearing your kids apart. But there was one mother that said, I cannot avoid the Nile. My son has to go out there. But before he goes out there, it is my responsibility to make sure that I put a godly hedge of protection over this child. And there she was, taking time, making this ark. And she let him go. Imagine as that child was going through the river. It was out of her hands. Mom, there comes a time that your child needs to leave. And he or she will no longer be in your hands. Did you build the ark? Did you do it God's way? You see, Moses' mom knew that that Nile was dangerous. And she said, if that ark protected Noah, then this ark will protect my child. I'm grateful for my parents who spent time building an ark. I'm so grateful for parents like mine that would spend the time reading the scripture with me, that spent time making sure I wasn't in the bad relationship. They made sure that I was walking right. They were in my business and I hated it. But now I understand, as I've grown up, that they were only building an ark because they knew that I would go into the Nile. They knew that I would go to school. They knew that I would have ungodly friends. They knew that I would be surrounded by ungodliness, and I needed protection because there were crocodiles out there. We need more mothers to take a stand and say, I'm going to take the time to build an ark around my child. You see, what God showed me was that Nile, That river consumed millions of babies that day. But one survived because of a godly mom. Would your kids survive out there today because of the godliness you instilled in them? And when Moses ended up in the palace, he was surrounded by ungodliness. But you know what? Let me just tell you. It didn't matter how much ungodliness he was surrounded with. The godliness of his own mom was enough to deconstruct anything that was around him. Mom, it doesn't matter how ungodly of a surrounding your child is in. As long as they go back to the nest and they see a godly example, that speaks louder than anything out there in that world. But what if your child is surrounded by ungodliness outside her home and then comes back to ungodliness inside the home? Then they're doomed for the crocodiles. But what if your child, like Moses, is surrounded by ungodliness, but the minute Moses went back into the nest, there was such godliness that it impacted him? Does your child see the godliness in you? What takes place inside that nest? Let me just tell you that mom, Moses' mom, had an eagle eye. Egyptian women are beautiful. I can imagine Moses bringing home an Egyptian girlfriend, and there is mama with an eagle eye. Not in this nest. You need yourself a Hebrew woman. And he will just complain, but mom, why? But mom, I love her. And she will put her foot down on her claw. And there, she would just protect him and protect him and protect him, making sure, and she would instill godly principles. And what if Moses says, I want to catch mom acting up? You never read of Moses' mother acting like an Egyptian woman. You never read of Moses' mother lying or cheating. You always read that she had integrity. She was a godly woman. And it was that impacted him. Let me ask you this. What do your kids observe in you? What do they see? Mom, thank you. Because I observed you. And I am who I am today because there was godliness in my nest when there was ungodliness outside of it. But if inside your nest there's ungodliness, I'm telling you, your kids have no hope. Verse 11. Moses, one day after Moses had grown up, notice this, he grown up. Mom, we hate this time, don't we? They had grown up. He went out to where his own people. How did he know his own people? Because his mother instilled it in him. But notice this. He went out to where his own people were and watched them, their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Glancing this way and that, seeing no one, he killed an Egyptian and hid him in the sand. The next day he went out and saw two Hebrew fighting. He asked one, what's wrong? Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew? The man said, who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian? Then Moses was afraid and thought, what I did must have become known. When Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian. I want to close with this. Mom, your child is not perfect. All mothers would agree, yes, they make mistakes. They're not always going to act like you want them to act. They're not always going to do what you would want them to do. I could almost imagine, as Moses murdered somebody, the guilt of that mom. What did I do wrong that my child would do this? Did I give him a bad example? Did I miss something? There's a lot of parents out there guilty. They feel the guilt over bad parenting. They feel that I should have done better, or my son or daughter wouldn't be in this mess. There came a time that Moses murdered, and he fled. The mother must have thought, where's my child? Many of you have a child that's wandering like Moses was at this time. Many of you have a child that's far from home, who's made mistakes. Many of you have a child that you don't know what's wrong with them. And it can be so painful for you, Mom, and you can blame yourself. But don't you ever blame yourself, because they make the decisions in their life. The only thing you have to do is make sure that you're giving them a godly example and instilling in them godly principles. But he was already grown up. And it was his decision. 40 years Moses wandered in that desert. He was there shepherding, and he was far away from his home. But isn't it amazing that later Moses would come back home and he would be such a godly man? That God had a great plan for his life, and he came back loving God and committed to the Lord. Mom, Dad, when your child leaves the nest and you die, because Moses' mom at this time was dead. But what an amazing testimony that Moses came back stronger, godlier. He came back and he loved God. But do you understand that none of that would have been possible had it been for a godly mom that made sure all those years he was protected? That made sure all those years he was away from ungodliness, made sure that in that nest there was godliness. And Moses came back a strong, godly man. He wasn't perfect, but he loved the Lord. Your child will not be perfect, but you need to be sure that they love the Lord. Amen? And that's up to you, Mom. For those that have children that are already grown up, and you think it's too late, I messed up, you never stop being a mom. Wherever they may be right now, make sure that when they're with you, they see godliness. Maybe you need to go to a child and apologize. I'm sorry for not being the best example when you were growing up, but I am now committed to the Lord. And I don't know what this means to you, but I want you to know that I love God now. It's not too late for you. Can we all stand up to your feet right where you're at? I want all the mothers to come forward this morning. all you moms. And if dad, if you're here too, you come support your wife. But all you mothers, come up here. Make room in the aisle, wherever you may be. Now, if your child is here, would you make your way on up as well to mom and dad? This morning. Come up here, Mom. Dad. Right now, if your child is with you, all the children here, would you give your mom or dad a big hug right now? Because they do a lot for you. Parents, hug them back. Tell them you're an idiot sometimes, but I love you. Let's pray together as a church. A hedge of protection will come over your child. But I believe parents need to know how to build that nest in the first place. Make sure inside that nest, there's so much godliness that is contagious in your child, that when they leave the nest, like those baby eagles that grew up, they only grow up to live just like mom and dad did. And those eagles grab mates just like mom and dad, and they build a nest just like mom and dad, and the cycle continues. What are you instilling and passing on to your children? What principles and morals will they pass on? What kind of marriage will your kids have based on observing yours? Let's pray together. Lord, as we come before you in this altar, with daughters and sons, with grandmas and grandpa, with mom and dad present, Father, I pray that you would forgive us. We don't always pass on the right example. Father, I pray for every mom here in this place. And listen to me online, wherever you may be around the world. Lord, rest your hand upon them. Protect this mother. Give her that desire to lead a godly life and leave a godly legacy. When that child grows up, we pray for a Moses. That though we're not asking for perfection, we're asking for godliness. That these children grow up to be great leaders in their own homes. And that they can look back on mom and dad and say, I saw God in them. Lord, help every mom and dad here live out a godly example. A godly marriage. Have integrity and moral. Give mom and dad strength that when it's hard to watch and protect and remove, give them strength to do it, Lord. And Father, I pray for every child here that you would remind them that the first commandment is to honor your mother and your father. And I pray, God, that in this church, these children honor their mom and dad. Respect them and treat them, Father, the utmost highest authority. We pray, God, that you would lead us to practice this message. Lead us, Father, to build such a godly ark around our kids that when these kids go into the Nile, they go out into the world and the crocodiles come after them, that they don't go near them because there's such a godly presence around them that mom and dad built. Pray this in Jesus' name.